All right, everybody, welcome to the Freedom Fiends Live Talk Radio Show. I am one of your hosts, Nima Vedati, out here in Central Texas, the Hill Country, where it is beautiful. We've also got Michael W. Dean out there in the frozen wasteland that is the Wyoming desert. How's it going, Michael?
This is Mr. Michael Dean broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural wild mountain west in the occupied states of America. Yeah, yeah. So something horrible happened yesterday that all the talk shows are talking about. Yeah, some guy went into LAX and shot a TSA agent, targeted him and shot him. And it sounds like we're doing the usual talk radio thing of building to, and we're going to talk about the ramifications of this. But you know what? We're not. We're going to save it. We want to talk about fun stuff. And I'm actually more concerned that, or it personally like affects me more, that Lou Reed died this week, because I know him and I interviewed him in my movie. And do you like Lou Reed there, Nima?
I don't know what that is, man. Is that really? Like Lou Rawls? Is that your
you
mom was beatboxing for Lou Rawls?
You youngsters. No? You youngsters. Oh. Lou Rawls. He did, yeah. Lou Rawls did, "You'll Never Know Another Love Like Mine." He's kind of Motown-y
yeah.
guy.
Yeah,
no.
exactly.
No, man, no. Lou Reed from the Velvet Underground, wrote the song Heroin, wrote the song Take a Walk on the Wild Side. You know that song?
Oh, where the certain type of girls sing?
Yes,
yeah, I know that song.
And she never lost her head even when, you know, it's kind of interesting. That was like a top 10 hit, but it's not radio friendly. Even in the radio edit.
Which is a bummer because we can't really talk about it as much as we want to talk about it because it's not radio friendly.
Yeah.
Is there a radio edit? I thought they played the full version on rock radio.
Yeah, like 7 minutes.
And I remember hearing that. I didn't know it was Lou Reed, but I remember thinking, wow, they could never get away with this on rap radio. They couldn't get away with this on 97.9 The Box in Houston.
I know.
They'd bleep everything.
And that's pretty old school and heavy duty and hardcore, something from the 70s or 80s that
but it sounds is, real laid back. See, is, see, people are superficial. If it goes do-do-do-do, if it goes, you know, I'm straight out of, then they're going to edit it.
I'm straight out of Casper. Yeah, that scares people. But, yeah, I mean, Housewives, I've seen Housewives, like, sing along with Take a Walk on the Wild Side and probably not
because it's very gentle and almost ambient.
I think it was actually used for an ad for the San Diego Zoo, too, Take a Walk on the Wild Side. But I think they only used the chorus. Yeah.
Right, right. Yeah.
Yeah, so Lou Reed, you thought he sounded like, you thought it was Bob Dylan when you heard it, didn't you?
Yeah, I said you played some stuff of his for me, and I was like, it sounds like Bob Dylan with electric guitars. He's got that sing-songy kind of talk, like I'm in a lounge with an upright bass player, and I'm just going to kind of cross between laid-back poetry, beatnik style, and music.
Yeah, you actually sounded really, really old there when you said it sounds like Bob Dylan with electric guitars, because Bob Dylan did a couple acoustic records and then went electric in like 1966 or something and was booed. Actually, he wasn't booed. We actually talked about that. A few people booed him, but a lot of people were, maybe they were yelling Lou. They wanted Lou Reed instead. It sounds like booing when you.
Lou! Lou! Yeah.
Yeah, but they were
the. Was that when he called Obama a liar?
Did he call Obama a liar? That was
no.
us, man. That was your.
No, didn't he say tell somebody in the audience they were a liar? You're
oh,
a
yeah.
liar.
Yeah. Somebody said, you know, yeah, like, something horrible about his electric guitar, and he said, he stopped the show and said, I don't believe you. You're a liar, which is the greatest thing you could tell a screamer in the audience, I think. It's awesome.
Yeah, way to negate the premise. I mean, take an improv class there.
Negate the premise. Don't negate the premise. Yeah, so I want to play a little bit. Actually, we interviewed Bob Dylan. We interviewed Lou Reed in our movie Hubert Selby Jr., It'll Be Better Tomorrow. We interviewed him about Hubert Selby.
You're so into the fiends that you act like I had anything to do with that one. That was, you made that before there were fiends or
well,
me.
That's a problem with the English language that isn't a problem in a lot of other languages, is that there's only one we. You know, in other languages, there's a we,
yeah.
meaning you and I, or you and I and whoever's in the room, and then there's another word for me and those other people that aren't in the room. And that's who I was
that's
talking
true.
About, is you and the other people that aren't in the room interviewed Lou Reed. Actually, I didn't interview him. I talked to him on the phone But I can not only get anyone to sit down for an interview, I can get someone else to do the interview for me because Lou Reed was in Denmark on tour and we needed the footage right away. And he agreed to do it because he was a big fan of Selby's. And I got a stranger in Denmark to film him and then send me the tape, UPS, with my UPS account.
The tape? How old are you?
Tape? You shot on tape? Yeah, but okay, there's two little short clips here, and he is kind of, you said, mumbly, like, what did you say about South by Southwest?
Oh, yeah. Well, I thought that Bob Dylan was way older than Lou Reed.
Like, nope, it 71, me that they were within 71 a, and 72.
Year of each other. Yeah, because I know some people who saw Bob Dylan. It was either South by Southwest. No, it was
Lou Reed. They saw Lou Reed, right?
No, they saw Bob Dylan. They said Bob Dylan reminded them of their great grandpa on his deathbed mumbling.
All right, I'm going to play two clips here. The first one, and these are really short and like 15 seconds each. The first one is Lou Reed talking about how he was asked to do. And you gotta actually go see the movie, Hubert Selby Jr. It'll be better tomorrow. It's a great movie. You can get it on, I don't know if it's still on Netflix. It's on Amazon for sure, and it's on our torrent link, and you should be torrenting and downloading free and saving all of our media, so when we're droned, it'll still be out there. But he's talking about how he was asked to do the music for Requiem for a Dream, the movie Requiem for a Dream. And he couldn't do it because he couldn't, like, live in the darkness. Like, Lou Reed, dark dude, was like, nah, man, that would be too dark for me. And this is just one clip. There's a bunch of clips. It goes back and forth from a bunch of people, so it sounds a little out of context. But there, I set up the clip like they do on talk shows. That's a little loud, don't you think? Yeah. All right, engineer. You're fired!
In my book, Between Thought and Expression, I included an interview with Hubert Selby. I've only done two interviews. One was President Havel, and the other was Hubert Selby. The only reason I did the interview was so I could meet him.
All right, I'm firing my in-store board op here. Not the GCM board op. But
he talks like he sings. Yeah, you just loop that does. Over some music. It sound like a Lou Reed song.
That's actually the wrong clip, but that is Lou Reed talking about how he's only ever done two interviews. One was with the president of the Czech Republic, Havel, and the other was with Hubert Selby, and he only did the interview so he could meet him. So, like, Lou Reed was a fan of Hubert Selby, so you should go see the movie. Hubert Selby Jr. It'll be better tomorrow. It's kind of interesting. I searched Lou Reed on YouTube today, and the search term, the autofill, was – the first one was Lou Reed DIY or Die. Now, DIY or Die, How to Survive as an Independent Artist, is another film I made that Lou Reed is not in, but there's a lot of singers in it. So, and this is kind of interesting because it's the first example of something that we said on this radio show influencing a Google or, like kind of Google bombing by accident. Because enough people must have thought he was in my other movie to go search that on YouTube.
Well, there you go.
So here's the clip of Lou Reed from Hubert Selby Jr. It'll Be Better Tomorrow, talking about how he couldn't, how dark Lou Reed couldn't go into the darkness of Hubert Selby's world to score the music. That'd be pretty cool to score. It'd be a good score, man, to score the music for Requiem for a Dream, but he turned it down. So here you go.
There was a possibility of doing the music for Requiem for a Dream, but I didn't want to enter Covey's world anymore for music. I mean, because if I do something, I get in all the way, and I just said I can't.
Yeah, Covey is the nickname for Hubert Selby Jr. And
Well, maybe everything happens for a reason, because we ended up with Kronos, or they ended up with Kronos Quartet doing that amazing piece for Requiem for a Dream, which is like ubiquitous. I mean, everybody knows that. If anybody, everybody's heard and enjoys a quartet song, because everybody's heard that song.
Yeah, it wasn't just Kronos Quartet. It was Kronos Quartet with I should know his name, Clint. Yeah, who was it, man? I don't even know. And I've actually, like, talked to this guy on the phone, too. There's so many people, I don't even know who they are. But, yeah, it was the guy from Pop Will Eat Itself. What's his name? You don't know what that is.
That's a pretty good name, though.
Yeah, Clint Mansell composed the music. Kronos Quartet is playing melodies written, I believe, by Clint Mansell in there. And there's some parts where they're playing together. But yeah, Clint Mansell.
Ah, yeah, you're right. Clint Mansell.
Creepy, weird music for Requiem for Dreams. So yeah, man, Lou Reed. I've actually seen the Daily Mail, the UK Daily Mail, like, did an obituary for him that was like a cautionary example. Like, and he didn't die of drugs. He probably died of the result of drugs, like, years later, because he just had a liver transplant. But he's been off hard drugs for a long time. But they did this like, yeah, kids, don't do drugs. It killed Lou Reed. And I'm thinking, like, what's the message there? Don't do drugs. You'll die at 71, beloved, the world over.
I could see that. Yeah. I mean, he was a rock star and he did drugs, or a folk star. I don't know what kind of music you'd call it.
I don't know what that is.
It caught up with him. I mean, did he stop or was he doing it to the bitter end? I don't know.
I
kind of assumed he was a normal 71-year-old at some point.
I don't think he was clean and sober. You know, I think he probably had a glass of wine with dinner, but he hasn't been, you know, slamming powders into veins probably since the 70s.
Okay.
Slamming powders into veins while yeah. dressing up
as
at that
age, though, how can you really make a causal decision? No, how can you find a vein? Yes.
At 71.
It was a de facto stoppage of heroin use. No, but how do you tell at that age if it was really caused by it, man? I mean, there's so many things you've done in your life at 71. I kind of feel like, well, I mean, that's kind of time. That's a natural cause type of death, isn't it?
A lot of people die of natural causes before 71.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, I really like this quote from Lou Reed. He said about his minimalist attitude towards music. He said, two chords are pushing it. Three chords and you're into jazz.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's the best. Yeah. So he's an early influence on trap music then.
Yeah, probably not. Yeah. But, you know, there's a great quote from him that I really like was his record, his band, The Velvet Underground. It came out as very influential, but like 10 years after it came out, he was interviewed and they were like, this record's only sold 30,000 or 60,000 copies, which on a major label is nothing. And, and he's like,
well,
yeah,
back then.
He's like, it only sold. Yeah. Back then, back before Napster and, internet file sharing. But he said, yeah, it only sold 60,000 copies, but everyone who bought it started a band. I love that. I kind of feel like the themes are that. I talked about this on my interview the other day with Michael Shanklin, that a lot of people have been going to our Creamy Radio audio blog, my blog, where I tell you how to inexpensively do good sounding audio, because I think that audio quality is sorely missing in a lot of Liberty Media. So I tell people how to do it cheap and offer links. And
well, a lot of do-it-yourself internet media in general, we would just prefer that libertarians get better at it so people will listen to them because they sound better than everybody
else. And take
them
seriously, yeah. Yep. And we'll be back with more after this trip to the market on the Freedom Fiends.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support, only a phone call away, 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
Yes, it's the Freedom Fiends live talk radio show. Thank you so much for sticking with us. I am Nima Vedati out here in the hill country of Texas. We've also got Michael W. Dean. Where are you at, man?
I'm in a bunker in Wyoming.
A bunker.
Speaking of bunkers, I like Cody Wilson's new video and project, and we're going to talk about that later. And we're going to have him on.
Dark Wallet.
Yeah, we're going to have him on next week. Next week we have two interviews on Saturdays. The first is an attorney from the Electronic Frontier Foundation talking about my plan to save podcasting, and then we're going to have Cody Wilson, who's actually a legal client of the Electronic for they're representing him in something. He's the printable gun guy. He invented the printable gun, and we're going to talk about it. You know, it's kind of interesting. I had a conversation with him on the phone a while back, and I was like wondering what to do. He was wondering what to do. Like he was, you know, the government sent him letters saying, "Stop making printable guns." And he was like, "But I want to make printable guns." And I said to him, "No, man, be like David Bowie. David Bowie didn't make the same kind of music over and over and over. He like was groundbreaking in all these different kinds of music, and every record like invented a new kind of music. You should do that. You should, your next project should be nothing to do with guns. And he's like, but I have to perfect this. I have to make better, you know, printable guns. And I'm like, no,
the concept, the market. Everybody else will. Yeah.
And he took, I don't know if he consciously took the advice or not, but he took the advice because he was really like, no, I need to make better printable guns. And like, he stepped away from it. Somebody else made better printable guns. And now he's working on the untraceable Bitcoin wallet, Dark Wallet. Yeah.
Dark Wallet. Yeah.
And he,
man, that's awesome. I love that guy, Cody Wilson.
And he did a fundraising thing and raised $25,000 in one day. That's pretty awesome.
Nice.
So here's my funny Cody Wilson story. We were talking on the phone for about an hour yesterday. And I was trying to help him with some audio tips because I want to improve everyone's audio. Like, you know, he makes these videos that get a million views, but the audio's not great on them. And I'm like, okay, let me give you some audio tips. So, and I told him his new one, the Dark Wallet one, it's like kind of good audio, but it kind of sounds like it's recorded in a, it sounds like it's in a windowless bunker. Like it's good audio, but it's kind of echoey.
Is it reverby?
Yeah. So, but it's kind of the point. It's a, like literally a dark video talking about the dark, you know, so of course he's going to be. But he wanted some audio advice, and I wanted to show him how to use this program. This is, I'm not going to go into the program details, but it's, so I told him to download it. Now, everyone, this is an example of why I don't want to listen to people who say, oh, you should get rid of PCs and use a Mac. That's like saying you should be a Democrat and not a Republican. I mean, they're the same thing, but one's worse. You know, the Democrat, the Mac one is worse. And the only real choice is either of those versus Linux, because Linux is the thing. But Linux is hard for me to use, and I don't want to learn a new system. So I do use it on some things. But so I said, so Cody, go download this thing. It's free. And he's like, no, it's $49.95. And I'm like, oh. And like, he's on a Mac, I'm on a PC. As with a lot of software, the PC one is free and the Mac one costs money. So strike one against Mac. So he goes to try to order this thing. First of all, he's like, I don't know if I want to spend $49 for this thing for making my projects better. And I'm like, dude, you have $25,000 in the bank. And he's like, oh yeah. Like he's so used to being poor. He forgot, you know? And, So he's like, yeah, I guess this is for the project. Okay, I can spend that money. So he's trying to jump through the hoops to order this thing. It took like 5 minutes and like he had to find his credit card. They wouldn't take PayPal. He entered this stuff. It didn't work. He had to get an Apple account. Like it took like 10 minutes. And I'm thinking like, this is, I could hear his typing getting angrier and angrier. And I was thinking like, this is why people bootleg stuff, not because they don't want to pay, but because it's easier. They need to make the commercial stuff as easy as bootlegging it, so people won't bootleg stuff if they want to make their money. Now, the whole thing, when we were done, we were like, this would have made a great video or at least audio and call it like Cody Wilson trying to obey the law. And he thought that was really funny, but we weren't recording. And I was like, okay, so if the NSA is listening, we would like to please do an unofficial FOIA request here. Please send us an MP3 of that phone call we had yesterday, because we want to put up an audio piece called Cody Wilson trying to obey the law.
Has anybody done an official FOIA request yet for phone records? Could you do that? I mean, I suppose they would come back and say, we can't give you that information because it's a national security issue.
For your own phone records?
For your own phone records. Because people have FOIA'd like the FBI for all documents that contain their name and received, you know, several hundred documents, you know, bloggers and things like that. So I wonder if you could do that for phone records.
For your own phone, metadata. For your own, probably not. I mean, the Gitmo detainees aren't allowed to mention torture in their trial because torture is classified. Do you know that? That's just mind blowing, man. Yeah. And I do want to say like Cody Wilson obeys the law. You know, he's not a go break the law kind of guy, but he was trying to obey the law in the only way he could to get this program for Mac. And like, he couldn't do it. He finally did it. It was just, and he's a computer literate guy, very literate, but
yeah, he invented the printable gun.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
The guy who invented the printable gun has trouble using the internet to buy something on Apple. That's the problem with the internet.
Right. Yeah. Trouble with iTunes. Yeah. All right. We'll be back.
Apple Store.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. That proves you're smarter than most people.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
Yo, it's Freedom Fiends.
Yeah.
Talk radio show. We're live.
We are.
Yeah, man. This is Nima Vidati. I am alive. Michael W. Dean is also alive. Yeah,
I'm still alive, man. I haven't been taken out by the federal government for free speech yet. But, you know, I've had a good run. I figured I'd be dead by the time I was 30. I mean, that's, you know, every rock and roller kind of figures that anyway. And I'm 40. I'm 49. So every day is gravy, man. Every day is gravy. And when I did that interview the other day with Michael Shanklin, he asked everybody at the end, if you were dying and had an hour to live and CNN and Fox and all the major news people came in and stuck a microphone in your face, and what would you want your last words to be? And I said, my last words would be, get that effing microphone out of my face so I can be at peace with my family and my cats, man. And really,
I don't believe that. I really don't.
No.
Your whole life is about getting microphones in front of your face and talking.
No, but my point is, like, everything I do could be the last words. And I do everything as if it's going to be not only the last thing ever heard from me, but the only thing ever heard from me. So, I mean, there's 300 episodes pretty much of Freedom Fiends out there. There's all the movies. There's all the music. I don't need to write a note. I don't need to have a pithy last sentence of, you know, whatever. Yep. There's a Wikipedia page of people's pithy last words. And, like, I don't need to be on that page. Don't need it, man.
Yep. It's like Zero says, I live in my songs, you know. If I died tonight, you'd live in your songs.
Yep. So speaking of songs, I got some dental work done yesterday. I had a tooth removed a while back, and this is kind of weird. The root underneath it started growing back, and they had to remove the root, which sounds painful and is.
They didn't strike at the root. They weren't radical enough in their dental work.
I know. They wanted to have half measures like most politicians.
Yes.
Yeah.
They were thinking about how to regulate your mouth instead of how to drastically change it for the better.
They actually did it for free. They were like, yep, this should have been done. I mean, like, they didn't admit fault, and maybe there wasn't any, but they were like, yep, sometimes this happens. It grows back. So they had to pull the root out, and I found that the great way to get through dental work is to bring headphones and listen to Death Clock.
Really? Death Clock? I would assume something more relaxing, but Go in the Water is kind of relaxing.
I listened to Go in the Water. I listened to Go into the Water on a loop. Let's listen to a little of that. See what I listen to while getting dental surgery. Yeah. Yeah, that's good anesthetic, man. That little Novocaine.
Yeah, it really is.
There's actually a Death Clock where Nathan Explosion becomes friends with his dentist, and then his dentist kills himself while they're out hunting. It's kind of horrid.
Oh, wow.
But we interviewed Brendan Small, the creator of Death Clock, and if you want to go back and listen to that. And another thing that I'm passionate about and want to talk about that we built we made a PSA, a public service announcement, for the Electronic Frontier Foundation, or EFF.
Right.
To help save internet freedoms. And I did an article on Talkers Magazine encouraging other shows to play it. And we're playing it for free for a month. Free Talk Live's playing it for free for a month. And GCN's playing it too for a month. So this ad is going to be on 700 radio stations. We'd like it on, 7,000. So if you're a radio programmer, go check out my article on Talkers Magazine, or go to Creamy Radio Audio, or go to yesterday's Freedom Fiends, and today is November 1st. So go to yesterday's
Freedom Fiends. For the uninitiated, go ahead and tell people what EFF is and how you –
I'll do better. I'll do it.
Helping.
I'll play the 30-second spot. It tells you what it is.
Okay.
The Electronic Frontier Foundation, or EFF, fights to protect your rights in the digital world. When a patent troll threatened podcasters, they fought back. EFF has also defended your right to encryption and has sued the NSA to end the government's mass, suspicionless surveillance. There are different ways you can help EFF, from donations, to signing petitions, to writing your representatives, to just spreading the word. Find out more at EFF.org. That's EFF.org.
Yeah, now Nima wrote the music for that. You know, when you first sent me the music, I was like, this is kind of pretty and not very, you know, once I put it in, I was like, this works great. It sounds upbeat and it sounds like electronics, and it's the Electronic Frontier Foundation. You know,
well, like, you wanted it to be like happy and triumphant, not oh, the government's gonna come take your freedom.
I know.
You wanted it to be like, hey, the EFF is gonna save you.
Yeah, so, and I forgot that music that serves a purpose isn't always the music you'd sit around and listen to on a loop while getting dental surgery.
That's correct. Yeah, so it sounds like kind of a electric ukulele or something. So,
yeah. So I want to talk about the One Rupee Film Project, because our first hour here is going to be all happy, upbeat, good news stuff. And then I guess we're going to talk about the government in hour two, and the TSA and the LAX and all those alphabet soup agencies. But the One Rupee Film Project. So I wrote this book about 10 years ago called $30 Film School, which you could get on Amazon, or you can get anywhere you want. Bookstores have it. It's a majorly published book on how to do independent media. And these cats in India got a hold of this book, and it became like their Bible, like their inspiration for their business plan, for their marketing plan, for their art plan. And they have done some really cool stuff. Now, the thing you have to understand about India is people don't have a lot of money there generally. Like, the economy is such, you know, there's always, people always joke about, but it's based on reality. Like, a lot of phone center services are outsourced to India here because people speak English well there, and they'll work for like a dollar a day and do a good job. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I mean, if you make 10 grand a year there, you're like a millionaire here pretty much. So they started something called the One Rupee Film Project, which is a reference to $30 Film School. It's kind of cute because it's like a rupee is like a sixth of a cent or something. So I guess that's how $30 translates into
Well, they sort of updated it into a crowdsource, like a digital crowdsource, right? They want everybody to chip in one rupee for the film project.
Yeah, or at least one rupee.
Want to ask for that.
Yeah. And that's like think in America, like if someone asked you for a sixth of a cent, you know, and they weren't begging and they were like good people, and you have a hard time saying no to donating one sixth of a cent and not looking like Mr. Burns.
Well, it's part of the beauty of digital cryptocurrency, right? Things like Bitcoin is they are infinitely divisible. You know, when people talk about the things that make money good, you know, good money, divisibility is one of them. Well, Bitcoin, I mean, it's all up to you. You can put as many zeros after that decimal point as you want.
Yeah, and that's a critique that idiots have of like using gold or Bitcoin as currency, because they'll say like, well, there's not enough gold in the world to back or all the things in the economy. And smart people are like, yeah, there is. The price of gold would go up or the price of goods would go down. And, they're actually
– if the price isn't static, it doesn't matter how much gold there is relative to goods, because the price will change.
And if you want gold, go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Midas Resources link over on the right. And you can get gold and you can get silver, and they're reasonably priced. Get gold. Get it now. So, yeah, Bitcoin or gold could replace paper money and do a better job of it. And Bitcoin is infinitely divisible, or almost infinitely divisible, in a way that metals aren't, because when you get down to dust, I mean, it's like it's hard to even weigh it and carry it around.
But I guess theoretically you could you could own portions of a coin or portions of a bar and trade them digitally, like have claims to a specific bar, like, well, I own 0.0001 ounce of this bar.
Yeah, somebody should come up with a untraceable currency like Bitcoin that works in the same way, that's mined, that's actually backed by gold. That would be brilliant.
I think they did that. I think that was one of the predecessors, was E-Gold. I don't know what its divisibility was like.
Yeah,
but E-Gold, I think
E-Gold
was
a thing, but it didn't have some of the perks that Bitcoin has, including,
right,
I believe,
of course,
the anonymity, and it probably had government regulation, and I don't think it had the the infinite, like, slipperiness in a good way, slipperiness of Bitcoin, of being able to route around.
But that's
around
kind
things.
Of the beauty of the market and of copying each other and reverse engineering things and eschewing IP, is you could take something that works from another project and add it to your project that maybe solves a problem that the original one didn't, and then everybody in the world can be better off because of it, if it works or not, and then the project fails, and then somebody else will come in and take the good ideas and make them work better.
Yeah, and let's talk about that more. I'm going to link the 1 rupee film project on our show notes for today's episode when it goes up. And you can just search 1 rupee, R-U-P-E-E, film project on Google, and it'll go straight to it. If you want to help them out or just check them out or see their really cool trailer. I mean, it's like it's from India, but it's not like Bollywood stuff. It's they're not trying to copy Hollywood. They're, if anything, they're probably influenced by like French New Wave film and Michael Dean films, you know, my films, and a bunch of other stuff, probably Pulp Fiction. But they the stuff looks like film. Whatever they're doing, it looks like it's done on film, but it's done digitally. And a lot of people try to do that. It doesn't really work. They do it really well.
Excellent.
Back to back to currencies. What you got?
I was gonna say. Speaking of cheap ways of doing things, like 1 rupee films and stuff like that. This is a good example here of the way that the market can do things for cheaper than the state having its finger on people's necks or hands around their necks. Although I guess it's sad because this guy's retiring. But there was a doctor in Illinois, some country doctor in like a town of 3,000. He recently retired. He was 88. But for something like 4 or 5 decades, since 1955, Dr. Russell, I think it's Donner, was still charging people $5 a visit. And everybody in town would go to this doctor. He was like the main guy. And he hadn't changed his prices in decades. And he didn't accept insurance. It was nothing like that. And he would stay in the office until everybody had been seen. He's providing service for the whole town just because he felt like it was his duty. And there are always going to be people who feel that kind of connection to a community who don't need to be forced or regulated into doing something amazing like this. And I guess it's sad that he's retired, but I think it's a great proof of concept that individuals wanting to help other individuals, it works, and it's cheap.
Yeah, I grew up in a really small town. I was born in 1964. When I was a little kid, like 5, 6, 7, we actually had a doctor that would make house calls, which I don't know what his pricing was, but he still made house calls. And when I was in San Francisco, I actually had a really elderly doctor. He was like 90, and then he died, and then he wasn't my doctor. But he had an office in his home, like old school style, and was very inexpensive and, you know, helped poor people and was kind of an old-fashioned country doctor kind of guy in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. That's pretty mind-blowing to me.
Well, it's really sad to me that that's not the norm anymore, because the thing you least want to do when you feel under the weather or sick is go to a doctor's office, because they are horrid to go to often. You know, I mean, you have to sit and wait. The magazines suck. I mean, how many times can you flip through highlights? You know, and it's just a bad experience. It's a bunch of bureaucracy as far as filling out paperwork and stuff like that. And we'll have more on that tip when we get back from the real market on the Freedom Fiends.
Yeah.
Listening to Freedom Fiends, not your grandpa's talk radio.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. Federal Reserve notes only have value because of a collective hallucination, whereas gold and silver are real, and so is their value. Gold and silver predate government-printed funny money, and they will undoubtedly outlive government-printed funny money. Get some gold and silver into your hands from Midas Resources by going to freedomfiends.com right now and clicking on the Midas Resources banner over on the right. Or go to gold.freedomfiends.com. That's gold.freedomfiends.com.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Yes, Freedom Fiends Live Talk Radio Show. Thank you so much for sticking with us through the first hour. We've got hour two coming up next. I am Nima Vedati. We've also got Michael W. Dean on the other end of the interwebs. How's it going, Mr. Dean?
Yeah. So you sent me this picture from a doctor's office the other day. This blew my mind. It's the government in action.
Yeah, well, it's the state in action. We've talked before for instance, when I fly, you know, a lot of like when you get patted down at the airport, you know, you don't really want somebody touching your private parts, and I bet most of the people touching your private parts also don't want to touch there. But the state is forcing two people face to face, each of them doing something they don't want to do because of the state. And we had just been talking about doctor's offices and why don't doctors. Why isn't house calls the norm anymore? You have to go sit in an office. You don't want to be there. You don't want to get out of bed. You don't want to drive through traffic to get there. And now, obviously, there's a whole lot of change and shakeup in the way healthcare is going to be provided, I would argue, to the detriment of a lot of things in society now. And
really?
I went to a doctor's.
A guy on talk radio is saying Obamacare is not going to be a good thing. Oh, my God. That's breaking news.
We're so unique and fresh. No, but there is this this sign struck me as fresh.
It blew my mind. Let me read it. It says
okay.
There's a sign in the doctor's office printed out on a computer. It says, "We realize that completing new paperwork is a drag. It is for us too. However, this paperwork is now required by state and federal law and must be updated annually. So please do not yell or spit at the receptionists. Thank you." Oh my God. Did that happen? Did someone spit at the receptionists?
I could imagine. You know, it's the thing we always say is, don't hate the player, hate the game. I think people really need to realize that. And the other thing is it's diffusion of responsibility. I mean, that's some of the horrors of all these government regulations is there's really nobody you can legitimately yell and spit at. Maybe Dianne Feinstein, but when are you going to get close enough to her to spit on her? That's never going to happen.
And you're not saying to spit on Dianne Feinstein.
No, that's
not the problem. You can't remove an individual or offend an individual and make it end. What you have to do is educate a mass of people that this whole system is immoral. You're forcing people to, you know, the only choice you have is to vote for the lesser of two evils. That leads to evil. And regardless of who you vote for, you end up with people who do things like point guns at you and demand that you fill out paperwork. And they literally do, because if you object and say, "I don't want to fill out paperwork," you don't get your medical care and you die. Or, you know, you spit on the receptionist and they call the police and you go to jail or whatever. Mm-hmm. You can't get around it. And you end up with things like Nice Systems, which is a company that makes software. And this is their 2-minute ad on YouTube selling this to police agencies. It's a software for analyzing social networks to spy on people who are planning on having demonstrations. Demonstrations are allowed in the First Amendment. So basically, they're trying to sell, and police agencies and governments are buying this stuff to basically preemptively stop people from exercising their First Amendment rights. Now, the upside, the good thing is this has way more down votes than up votes, and that's happening more and more, like the Bearcat tank ads and the NSA. There was an NSA thing recently on YouTube where the head of the NSA tried to sell the American people, like, hi, we're Americans, we need the NSA. It had the world record for the most down votes in one day. But you downvote and they don't listen to you. Your representatives are not representing. Most people don't want this stuff. Listen to this ad, and the system is called NICE. That's just Orwellian.
Any moment might become a decisive moment. It's here. You have identified a situation and that you need to take action. This is a decisive moment when your security, safety, and operational capabilities become critical. What if you could own these decisive moments based on intelligent insight? What if you could make a real impact? NICE Integrated Product Portfolio lets you make sense out of the mass amounts of data generated by many different systems. This data is turned into insight that reaches the right people at the right time so they can take the right action. Let's see how it works. The NICE Video Analytics Suite alerts on an unusually high occupancy level.
Okay, what they're showing there is people demonstrating.
We'll be back.
Oh, wow.
With more on the Freedom Fiends for Hour 2. Yeah, that was just Orwellian, man. It's spooky. And this is like a high-budget ad to sell this system to people who buy it with stolen money, with tax money, to use it to aggress against you while trying to have your First Amendment rights and protest your government.
I did like how your bump music augmented the epic orchestral music of the thing we were playing. It was great.
Like, oh, wait, they're using Right Arm of Wyoming in this ad? I want money. I wouldn't charge anybody else for it, but I'd charge these people for it. Yeah. Freedom Fiends.
This is Nima Vedati from the Freedom Fiends. Using government-printed funny money fuels and encourages wars abroad, and the wars at home against you and all you hold dear. Why should you remain beholden to self-appointed federal kings who don't care if you starve in a cage? Become your own king today by owning gold and silver from Midas Resources. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Midas Resources banner over on the right, or go to gold.freedomfiends.com. That's gold.freedomfiends.com.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed,
buy sheep for sheep on sheep,
and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
Hey, this is Squisscar Squiggles from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess it says worms now. So there you go.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Oh, it's the Freedom Fiends Live Talk Radio Show. I am Nima Vedati. Thanks so much for joining us for Hour 2. We are back. We've also got Michael W. Dean on the other end from me. How's it going, Mr. Dean?
Good. I am broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural Wild Mountain West in the occupied states of America. I did a little EQing, tuning up while that was my sound check. And that is going to become my good night and good luck, we have predicted. But we want to talk about the first hour of the show. We just talked about good news and good stuff because we don't want to be like your grandpa's talk radio where we just pick up the newspaper and talk about how everything is Obama's fault. But everything is Obama's fault. But if Romney'd won, we'd be saying everything was Romney's fault because they're politicians. Yeah. And we wrote a little bumper here, a little jingle. Somebody called it a treason jingle, but we're going to play it anyway. It's called Look What Obama's Done to You Today. So, what's Obama done to you today, Nima?
What hasn't he done? But I guess we wanted to, I don't know if fearmonger is the right word, but your worry is that the TSA
I ain't worried.
Will become more armed.
I ain't worried.
Not worried?
I don't fly,
well, you don't
man.
Fly.
Yeah.
That's true.
I mean, I'm not worried. I'm convinced the TSA is going to become more armed. In case you're living in a windowless bunker and don't read the news like Nima, I had to tell him last night that some guy shot a TSA agent at LAX. And I don't know. I don't know if I think... I believe in, you know, conspiracies. I think things just happen and then they don't let a crisis go to waste. But
right.
If this guy was a Manchurian candidate or if it was a false flag, they're not
agent provocateur.
Yeah. If that's the case, they're not trying very hard anymore. Because the first thing I noticed when I saw his name on TV was his name is Anthony Ciencia, and it's spelled CIA and CIA. Man, CIA and CIA.
Yeah, it's like straight out of Grand Theft Automobile. It's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's a horrible story, and I don't think it's awful. I mean, I do think it's awful that somebody died. I mean,
make up your mind.
Well, here's the thing is like we said earlier, hate the game, don't hate the player, and people are just people, and random acts of violence don't help anyone, man. That's just a tragedy. That's acting like the stakes.
Yeah,
and it's not acting like anybody who is of any kind of good moral resolve.
And to be clear, we're not saying that targeted acts of violence are the answer instead of random acts, because they're not. You know, taking out any official, any person, anything like that, yeah, they first of all, it's immoral. Second of all, I mean, they're people. You know, they're the policies. Right. You hate the game, not the player. Second of all, it's just like a hydra. You cut off one head and two more grow. I mean, violence is not the answer. Right. We are gun people, but we're self-defense gun people. We have guns for burglars and robbers right. and people kicking in our door in the middle of the night. Not for anything like what this guy did, which was a bad thing. He was a bad guy. He had some bad information and probably some bad voices in his head. He was a registered Democrat from New Jersey. That's worth pointing out, probably. It's kind of interesting, like the high-level crazy people shooting stuff lately hasn't been, you know, the white Republicans from the red states. It's been like people of color. It doesn't even matter if they're people of color, but it's that's only interesting because it's a demographic change.
It doesn't fit the Southern Poverty right. Law Center's right. profile is what you're saying.
Right. I mean, the people that have gone crazy and done things that are horrible, like the shooter at the Navy Yard. And I'm not going to include the lady that was shot in D.C. because I think she was just taking a wrong turn and got murdered. Or homicided by government agents who were trigger happy and issued guns and probably didn't have any kind of gun, like reasonable gun training. Now, here's an outcome I think is going to be of this is I think they're going to arm the TSA, which is horrifying to me.
Don't they already have armed TSA agents?
Yeah, but they're not all armed. You know, what I'm worried about is the people that are hired off a pizza box would probably be selling shoes in an ethical economy, should not have any kind of authority, who have an attitude, man. The TSA people, a lot of them have an attitude. They're like, sir, you have to go back. You know, they're just up in your face. They finally got their chance to like have a pension and push people around. And a lot of them are probably anti-gun. Like people who wouldn't want to be near a gun are going to be given guns. People that have no respect or understanding or, you know, not fear, but like respect for a gun.
It might depend on location, though. I told the story on the show last time I traveled to Utah when the TSA wouldn't let me take – I usually declare my firearm. And, you know,
I do
in my check baggage. Yeah.
Actually, the short form of that is just going, gun, 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 gun.
Yeah, not, I'm not going to do that. But I had the TSA tell me I couldn't. And, you know, my wife dropped me off at the airport. It's not like I could take my gun home. One lady was very friendly. She said, you can go to the JetBlue counter, their ticket sales counter, and they actually sell TSA-approved gun cases. And it wasn't too much of a price gouging. It was a reasonable price, and I went there and bought one. And then this TSA lady started chatting about Springfield XD, which is the pistol I have. She said, oh, I have the 40 cal model and I love it. And we just talked about shooting for like 5 minutes while I put my gun in the approved case. And I think it depends on location. And that's the thing. I think that helps to prove the point that TSA people are individuals, and some of them are there because of the poverty draft. Some of them are there because there's so few real jobs out there anymore because of state involvement in the economy and them wrecking the free interaction of people exchanging goods and services. And so people have to go do things sometimes, like the TSA, to feed their family or pay their bills.
Yeah, they're going to arm those people, though. It's kind of scary. I mean, they do have all those 40 cal bullets, and I'm sure they got a bunch of Glocks in the big box of nothing that the government agents have to carry around that we've been talking about for weeks. I think it's full of Glocks. They could just hand them out to government employees when the satellite signal comes in and tells them to do that.
Okay,
when you read CNN this week and they give out a stat that says that last year TSA agents confiscated 1,400 guns, the thing you need to know is that stat doesn't mean people trying to walk on a plane with a gun. Most of the, all but 12 of those were people who were trying to legally check their gun and didn't have the right lock or didn't have the right case and didn't go to JetBlue and weren't told they could, or they were out or whatever. So that's a fact, a statistic that's bouncing around that's really handpicked, cherry picked, and not indicative. And the 12 that tried to carry a gun on a plane, most of them probably just forgot it was in there, which is not really good gun awareness. You should know where your gun is at all times. But very few to none of them were people trying to take a gun on a plane, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, one of them was Bill Russell, NBA legend Bill Russell, a couple weeks ago, didn't he? He had his – he accidentally forgot to declare his gun. And that kind of stuff happens. And people flip out about it. They do. And I don't get it, because like I said a few casts ago, you know, it's cell phone, keys, wallet, GAT. You know, that's your checklist before you leave your house. And I feel like it's – how sad is it that guns have become that little of a cultural thing, a cultural norm, that people think automatically when they hear gun found at airport, they think somebody had some kind of evil intent and not that they were carrying an inanimate piece of object, you know, a tool that they carry with them everywhere.
Yeah, and something you can do about that if you're a gun owner, and I highly encourage this, is find your buddy at work who's like, oh, guns are bad, and offer to take him to the range. Give him safety training, make sure he's safe, make sure she's safe, teach her to shoot. Just take him to the range. Let them shoot a gun, and most people, when they do it and realize it's not that scary of a thing, it'll change their attitudes a little bit, and they won't be as quick to jump and say, yes, all guns should be outlawed, and only the police should have guns. Yeah.
Hey, take a page from the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons. Go door to door. Say, hey, you want to come see my guns?
I'm kidding.
Yeah.
Not legal in California. Yes. Or the District of Columbia.
District of Columbia.
So all the news is yelling that this shooter was carrying anti-government literature. It's kind of – this is bizarre. It says that the anti-government literature was published by an organization called the New World Order. There's no such organization that publishes literature under that name. The New World Order is the conspiracy theory that there are six trillionaires in a bunker somewhere drinking owl blood and planning all of the horrors of the world. And we don't really believe that. We think that just power begets stupidity and power begets more power, and it always leads to bad things. It's kind of a law of physics more than it is an organization in our mind.
Yeah, I agree completely. Although back to the point of look what Obama did to you today, and hate the game, don't hate the players. There's some of that with regards to Obama too. And you know, we talked about Lysander Spooner a couple casts ago or radio shows ago, and later on in his text No Treason, he goes on to say that at the same time, the emperors, the presidents, the kings, they act like they're the most powerful, but really they are just dupes of the people who are giving them the blood money to kill more people. And he talks all about the Rothschilds and how really what it is they don't care that you're an emperor or a president. They just care that they get a good rate of return on the fact that you're going to kill people and scare them into giving you future tax revenue. And it's a safer bet than a legitimate business, because your legitimate business could lose out in the market. But if they give you blood money and you hire soldiers, soldiers to terrorize people into paying taxes, that's much safer for investors.
You know, you said the word emperor in there, and it made me think of the story The Emperor's New Clothes, which is a children's parable. It's very simple. It's basically the king went to his tailor and said, make me a fine suit for my preambulation down the boulevard. And the emperor kind of, or the tailor duped him. He didn't have any new stuff. And he just, he said, I've made this invisible suit that only people who are pure of heart can see. And the king didn't want to admit he wasn't pure of heart. And he's like, oh, it's stunning. Let me put it on. And basically the king went out naked, walked down the boulevard, and everyone was told about this suit. You know, everyone wanted to be thought of as pure of heart. So they all waved and commended the king on his wonderful suit, his new suit. And there was a little kid who just, you know, didn't believe the hype. And he was a little kid, didn't have the self-censorship that adults and people who are worried about what the government thinks will say. And the kid says, look, the emperor has no clothes. Now, that little kid is our hero. And that's what we're trying to make in this world, is millions of people who see that the emperor has no clothes, see that the man behind the curtain is just Oz pulling levers that do nothing. And as soon as that is our plan, is not shoot agents. It's not shoot politicians. It's not write to politicians. It's not vote for the right politicians. It's educate everybody and get them educating everybody until a lot of people realize the emperor has new clothes. When there's a majority of people realizing the emperor has no clothes, the state disappears, man, and people can have voluntary interactions.
Right. It becomes as invisible as that set of clothes. And that was feisty libertarian rant number one from Mr. Michael
Dean. Never heard it before.
Kudos.
I'm kind of surprised. I mean, I'm sure somebody's done it. Somebody said it at some point.
I've heard that, but that was well said. Well done. I appreciate it.
Thank you. And we'll be back with more after this trip to the free and voluntary market.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean. Available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
Yeah. All right, Freedom Fiends, thank you for joining us once again. Hopefully you've been listening to the whole show. If not, if you're new to it, this is the Freedom Fiends Talk Radio Show. I am Nima Vidotti. We've also got Michael W. Dean. You can listen to whole show archives at freedomfiends.com. That's freedom, FEENS.com, obviously. What's up, Michael?
Yeah, and people should go to our website because there's a lot more information there. You can contact us from there. If you wanted to call us during the show, you could contact. We don't give out the number. We're not really calling.
Sometimes we do.
And you can send us emails. You can hassle us. You can ask us questions. You can say, but Michael, without the government, who would build the roads? And we'll read them on the mail. Read them on the air and make fun of them. So yeah,
not always. We will try to gently explain things, but if we feel like it. That's the caveat. If we feel like it.
Yep. And we also have buttons, and we have an announcement about our buttons. We had a button sale of Freedom Fiends buttons, those little things you wear on your shirt that are great and they last forever, in my experience. They're a lot cheaper than t-shirts, and they're more fun. And they're fun for ages, I don't know, probably 10 to 80. I don't know if little kids should have buttons, but buttons are good, and we have five designs of buttons, and we used to sell five buttons for $10, and we had a pre-Halloween sale, and we sold 10 buttons for $10 with shipping to America, or $16 with shipping to Canada, and we decided it was so successful, we're going to keep that going forever. The new price until, you know, the economy's wrecked, and we have to just do things with Bitcoin because money doesn't work anymore, and it takes a wheelbarrow of $10 bills to buy a loaf of bread. But in the meantime, we're going to have 10 buttons for $10. So go forever for the foreseeable future until Obama does something to you today that kills the economy
or tomorrow
in one fell swoop.
Right.
So Halloween, man, you wanted to do a Halloween episode, but then you took the day off, and you deserved it, and I went and did an interview with Michael Shanklin. So what do you want to talk about Halloween?
Yeah, well, my wife is on this kick to where Halloween is her new favorite holiday. Formerly, it was Thanksgiving because of all the yummy food, but now she says it's Halloween because of the amazing examples of social order, natural social order, that come about spontaneously without any state intervention or top-down force. There's just rules that are – they're spoken. They're talked about, and some are not. Some are just thought about, but they're not written down or legislated. They just happen. You know, you walk down the thing. If you don't see a light on or a jack-o'-lantern, you don't knock. You don't expect candy. If you do, then obviously there's candy there. People have internalized the concerns about poison candy and razor blades, even though I don't think that's ever really happened. But people have internalized that anyway, and so they don't offer those types of candy anymore. They go buy single-serving little fun-sized candy bars and give them out to kids. So it's a self-regulating thing. People pick up on cues, and they respond to those cues. And so, as such, it's a great example of the market. Also, there is vandals. There are people that go out, and it's their intention to cause trouble. But there's such a small percentage. You know, it's this night of fun and everybody going out. But still, it's a very, very small percentage of people who cause trouble. And really, it's not even dealt with that much by the police because there's really no need for it. People wake up, and they wipe the eggs off their house, and they might grumble, and they clean the toilet paper off their trees. But it happens so little that it's not a pervasive problem. And I think that that's the same thing in a free society. Yes, you would still have crime, but it wouldn't be an overbearing thing. It wouldn't be like the amount of violence perpetrated by the monopoly of force that is the state.
Except in Detroit, where they which is a very socialist run town, and it reflects in their celebration of Halloween, which is Hell Night, which is where people burn down houses. That's how they celebrate Halloween in Detroit.
But aren't they burning down like abandoned houses that are like been condemned by the government or something?
No, they're
like
still
that?
People's property, and they're probably still livable in a free Detroit, and we do like free Detroit, and they would not burn down houses. They're good people. So I have so many critiques with your attitude about Halloween. I mean, I'm probably going to come off as the old curmudgeon going, "You kids, get off my porch." First of all, I think that Halloween is not a social I think it's a social contract, first of all, which I don't like. You know, kids come to your door if you have your light on and you're supposed to give them candy. I think it teaches begging and it teaches socialism. And I think it teaches government as a good thing because you're asking for a handout and there's a social contract that if you don't give a handout, you'll get eggs on your house. Bait, trick or treat, give me something good to eat, you know, smell my feet, whatever. I think it's a social contract and I don't like that. Try this on Halloween. I mean, I wouldn't really say try this because you'd be messing with little kids, but, you know, kids knock at your, have your light on. Don't turn it off. Have your light on. The kids come to your door. You open the door and say, "What?" and not give them anything. And I'm not recommending people do that because it would bug kids. And
why would you even open your door? I mean, you're just being, difficult if you open, if your lights are off on Halloween and you hear the door knock. Cause that happened to us. And what we did is we just ignored it and the kids moved on because there's plenty of other houses right down the street. You
we'll
know?
Have more on Nima's love of the social contract when we come back on the Freedom Fiends.
Whatever.
We're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. So much truth, it hurts.
Do you want to raise your children outside of the government indoctrination camps that are today's public schools? Check out the Ron Paul Curriculum link over on the right of freedomfiends.com. The Ron Paul Curriculum is a liberty-based K-12 homeschool course. It covers history, liberty, geography, math, science, and free market economics. Kindergarten through fifth grade are free. Then it's only $250 per family per year. Click on the Ron Paul Curriculum link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Hi, I'm Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, and like you, I'm concerned with privacy on the internet. The electronic police state is strangling our previous protections, and the central scrutinizer is trying to squint into all areas of our lives. That's why smart people surf the net with a VPN or virtual private network. I use a VPN from Bola VPN. Bola VPN has your utmost security in mind and will allow you to surf, email, and do other computing tasks without leaving a trail of breadcrumbs across the internet. Unlike many other VPN providers, Bola VPN doesn't log traffic. With Bola VPN, you can change your apparent location or disappear completely. Bola VPN has been around since 2007, which is OG in the VPN world. Bola VPN is easy to install and configure. Best of all, it can be had for less than 25 cents a day, which is a small price to pay for this much security. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them through the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net. Yeah.
All right. It's the Freedom Fiends Live Talk Radio Show. I am Nima Vidati. We've also got Michael W. Dean. Before that trip to the market, we had a contention. Michael says that Halloween is the social contract. I say it's spontaneous social order. And here's why, man.
I had to play some Dead Kennedys, the song Halloween, man. Because yeah. I disagree with you.
Because you don't want to hear the truth.
Yeah.
You're trying to blast me out with your punk rock and roll musical show.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. It basically, my point is the premise of this song, which is like, when I'm a punk rocker, man, every day is Halloween. If I want to dress up weird, I don't do it so much anymore because I don't go out so much anymore. But that was an old punk rock thing of like, every day is Halloween. And why do you have to have a societally chosen day when you get to be weird? I don't like
that. The thing is you don't have to. And that was my point before you blasted me out with some Dead Kennedys, which Dead Kennedys is cool and all. But Halloween, it's voluntary, man. You can participate or not. It's not a social contract, because what they say is the social contract is you have to pay your taxes, and if you don't, it's perfectly legitimate for the state to come throw you in a cage and or kill you. On Halloween, there's nobody there waiting to kick in your door and take your candy if you don't offer it. And also, the great thing about Halloween is it's panarchist, right? It's not just trick-or-treating on the blocks. It's you're perfectly free to have your trunk-or-treat if you're that scared of your neighbors.
I don't know what that is. What's a trunk-or-treat?
Well, I'll explain it. All right, so if you're that scared of your neighbors, some people are. They do this thing now called trunk-or-treat. Treating where you go to the church parking lot and people open their trunks and you know everybody. I don't know how they vet who opens their trunks and gets to give candy, but somehow they vet them. And the kids just walk around in a circle around the parking lot.
Probably good
going
people.
To trunks.
Probably good people that they know who don't listen to Dead Kennedys.
maybe. But, and you know, I think of something like that and I think, oh, that's just silly. But
I'm
not going to prevent them from doing
like it.
It's perfectly fine for them to do. And then you also have your fire and brimstone haunted houses that a lot of churches do, which I think, oh, come on, you're just trying to be something. But that's perfectly fine. If you want to push that agenda or to explain your beliefs in that way and people walk up to it and are interested in it and go pay money or give a donation to go see your fire Fire and Brimstone haunted house that says you're going to go to Hades if you don't follow certain things, then that's fine and it's okay. And people can do that and they do that and nobody stops them. And that's one of the reasons I like Halloween too, is it's such a panoply. It's a perfect expression of everybody doing their own thing to celebrate it, and they're not being force involved.
Yeah, so you say. I have an interesting Halloween related thing for our listeners in North Dakota. There was a thing that went viral last week of and yeah, we're talking about Halloween. It's post Halloween. You know, maybe we're contrarian, maybe we didn't get around to it. Maybe Nima took the day off, but we're getting around to it now. It's our post Halloween. Everybody was doing the Halloween show the day before Halloween.
It's our Halloween debrief is what we call it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's where we go into the locker room and look at the tapes and see where we went wrong on Halloween. Now, here's a lady who went wrong on Halloween. There's a lady in North Dakota who, what she decided was that she was going to give out candy to the kids who were in shape, but kids who were plump or fat did not get candy. They got a note in an envelope, and the envelope said, "Take this home to your parents." And when the parents opened it, the note said, "It takes a village to raise a child, and your child is too fat. You shouldn't be giving him candy." That is horrific, man. That is so nasty.
It really is.
Here's my solution. I looked this up. I'm not in favor of anti-bullying laws. I think they're ridiculous ways to do something that should be done societally, and they're often abused. Like recently, somebody invoked anti-bullying laws when their kid's football team lost. I mean, that is just that's ridiculous. But North Dakota has anti-bullying laws. I think people should consider finding one of those kids who was harmed by one of those notes and talking to the local DA or whoever about filing anti-bullying charges against this lady. And this lady is a nanny busybody who I'm sure backed those laws. She's the kind of lady that would back anti-bullying laws and not realize the insanity of the fact that she is violating those laws. I think that'd be an interesting thing for someone to do, is try to bring find a victim of her bullying, her fattest bullying, her trying to parent other people's children, and file charges on anti-bullying laws in North Dakota against this crazy lady.
Yeah. Well, see, I had heard about her plan to do that. That was all over everywhere. Did it actually work? Because I assumed that people would figure out which house she was at and just avoid her. why play into her hands? And I wonder if there's a follow-up on that to see how her evil Halloween plan actually worked out.
I don't know. There was tape of it. I heard it on Free Talk Live. She called in some morning talk show. It was not the, we're on KTGO in Tioga, North Dakota. It wasn't that, but it was some other, it was in Fargo. It was a different station. And, you know, the guys were pretty cool. They sounded like the fiends. They were basically like, "Hey, they basically called her an idiot and said she was a nanny busybody," but not in those words. They did the right thing. But there's tape of it out there, so people know her name. It's not hidden. I don't know what it is. We don't have a research department. We don't need facts.
Yeah. It's just sad that she would presume to judge people like that, man. Because when kids are kids, they go through phases. And maybe a kid is extra chubby this Halloween because he's about to go through a growth spurt. Maybe he goes home and he eats gluten-free rice cakes or something. But he's still gotten a little bit chubby.
I don't care what the reason is. It's nobody's business. It's not that other parent's business. It's his own parent's business. And I want to clarify, we do need and love facts on the Freedom Fiends. We just don't need details. Details get in the way. Citations get in the way. Google is your friend. Look it up. Let me search lady in North Dakota. Hey, go on, Neiman. Go on. Go with your bad self.
North Dakota. I mean, I guess my final stance there, though, is I think Halloween is great. And another example, I didn't get to this earlier, is something Jeff Tucker first wrote that first got me thinking about why Halloween is a good example of order that happens spontaneously, and the market is kids, when they get home, they trade candy, right? So you go, you don't really get to choose your candy on the Halloween. You get whatever they give you. I mean, some people do that. They have the bowl out there and they say pick one, but a lot of people just drop, you know, some random piece of candy in your bag. When the kids get home, a lot of times they'll trade, and some kid will have 6 Reese's and 5 Snickers, and the other kid will have, you know, the opposite of that, and one hates Reese's, one hates Snickers. They trade. One ends up with all Reese's, the other ends up with all Snickers and they're both happy. Wealth has just been created. It's a perfect example
of wealth
creation.
Wealth has been begged. Wealth has been begged. But the lady's name is, she called into Y94 Radio. She only gave the name of Cheryl, but on the internet, there's a screen grab of her letter. Get the CSIs on that, man. You got all these government scientists sitting around doing nothing, trying to solve pot crimes where there's no victim. This is an actual crime. There were kids who were victims. They were victimized by this fattest lady and her nannying and her not and her believing that line of it takes a village to raise a kid, which is Hillary Clinton misquoting out of context an old African proverb, which in old African times it may have taken a village when, you know, your village was your world and you didn't know anybody outside of it. But there are resources in modern society where you don't need the village deciding to raise your kids. You can interact with who you want in the village.
Yeah.
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 So basically, when you say it takes a village, you're basically saying, I want to go back to the Stone Age, because that's from a society that's still living in the Stone Age.
No, you're basically inserting yourself. You're saying, I want to have say over what you do, and I'm going to use this as an excuse or a justification.
I don't like that.
I still have contention with you saying asking for candy on Halloween is begging. You ask, and people give it willingly. And I guess begging is kind of like that too. But, I mean, it's voluntary charity, right? That would be how it seems to me. It's not socialism. It's not welfare, because nobody's stealing the candy in the first place to give to the kids.
Okay, let's agree to disagree. I'll agree that you're wrong and say it on radio to hundreds of thousands of people. And let's go on the tip of the thing about nannying. I want to play this 28-second clip of Sean Penn on Pierce B. Morgan saying that that the president needs to – what did he say? That he needs to have an executive order to institutionalize Ted Cruz. Here you go.
Oh, man.
There's a mental health problem in Congress. This would be solved by committing them by executive order, I think, because these are our American brothers and sisters. We shouldn't be criticizing them, attacking them. We should take their – this is a cry for help.
We literally commit what, I think people like Ted Cruz?
He's my American brother. We should take care of him. He's in trouble.
Well, actually have him committed.
Wow.
I think it's a good idea.
Yeah, this American brother thing is very much – it takes a village. You know, he's not saying these Republicans are crazy and should be rounded up and shot. He's saying, I love this man, Ted Cruz. Mm-hmm. He's my American brother. So the president should write down on paper that they need to institutionalize. That is so Soviet, first of all. It's we need to throw our dissident, our, you know, people who disagree with the dear leader into prison, into a gulag, into a mental health gulag, which the Soviets did. Second of all, Sean Penn looks medicated in this. His eyes are really droopy. He looks, you know, as a recovering heroin addict with 19 years sober, I'm not going to say that Sean Penn is on heroin, but he looks like people I knew on heroin back in the day. Thirdly, Sean Penn has a concealed carry permit and was issued one in California, where it's really hard for a citizen to get one who's not a god of Hollywood. He got a concealed carry permit after being arrested detained for like hitting somebody who took a picture of his girlfriend Madonna, and for having been arrested for pot. So like in Hollywood, you know, I've never been arrested and I couldn't get a concealed carry permit in California. But apparently if you're a movie star, you can punch people and be arrested for drugs and still get a concealed carry permit.
Yeah. But it was exactly as we said with the lady.
Then he lost his gun. Then he lost his gun. He left it in his car and it got stolen. Yeah.
Well, it was an excuse, though. I did not get the sense that he really had a concern for Ted Cruz.
No.
I really got the sense that was his excuse or his justification to throw a political opponent in prison.
Yeah.
Which – how scary of a thought is that? That he is calling for the president to throw a member of the legislature in jail because they have a disagreement.
And all
that
this,
sounds
all
like a totalitarian dictatorship, man.
And Ted Cruz, like, I don't think he goes far enough, which would probably make Sean Penn think that I'm his American brother who should be lined up and shot. You know, right. I don't know what he'd think, but I think Ted Cruz is a politician, and I think, you know, he's less of a let's go face forward into socialism than other politicians, but he still believes in taxation and stealing money and funding his pet projects like all politicians do. I think it's bizarre to me because in this society, the reigning power basically thinks he should be thrown in a cage if you want to reduce the size of government, and the small government Republicans think us libertarians are crazy because we want to really take government down to where it can drown itself in a bathtub. We'll have this week in review on the Freedom Fiends coming up after this trip to the free market.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. They'll be right back just as soon as this drone is out of range.
Since time began, tyrants have taken aim at personal liberties. Now there's a movie that aims back.
The government has no more right to tell us what to put in our bodies than they have to take our guns or tell us what books we can read.
Six drug police were eaten by bears while raiding a marijuana farm.
On your knees, you dirty hippies! Jesus. On your knees!
What's the problem, officer?
Today, many cops who enforce pot laws do so only because it provides them with cushy jobs, good benefits, and a chance to push people around.
I was an undercover narcotics officer. The drug war is nothing but a farce.
The Second Amendment says you gotta keep you and your gat intact.
Guns and Weed, the Road to Freedom. A film by Michael W. Dean and Nima Vadadi.
DVD available now at gunsandweed.com or on Amazon. That's gunsandweed.com. Makes the perfect gift. Remember, that's gunsandweed.com.
Yeah. Yeah. Marinate on that tasty bass line, folks. This is Nima Vadadi with the Freedom Fiends Talk Radio Show. Thank you so much for sticking with us. It was a fun couple of hours here. We are at the end of that. Obviously, I'm Nima Vadadi. We've also got Michael W. Dean, and it's time for the Freedom Fiends Tweak and Review.
We need a jingle. We need a jingle for Tweak and Review. Although I could just play the Don't Drone. Here, let's play the Fiend Drone just because we don't have a jingle for Tweak and Review.
Okay.
Fiend drone.
I'll allow it.
Fiend drone.
Boom.
Boom. Marinate on that. All right. Go ahead.
Marinate
tweak
on
and
that.
Review.
And so, yeah, man, we started off with we wanted to avoid the tyranny of the day for at least a little while. And so we talked about Lou Reed, you know, a little retrospective. We
Not
took a
Lou
walk
Rawls.
On the wild side. Not to be confused with Lou Rawls, although Michael's mom did beatbox for Lou Reed. So it's kind of similar to the Far Side song. We also talked about the free sharing of ideas, i.e. the opposite of IP or intellectual property. Those IP institutions, they promote they keep innovation and progress from happening.
They promote one of the ways violence. They promote government violence, actually. Yeah,
right,
patents
right.
promote violence.
And so Michael wrote a book called $30 Film School, and some people as far away as India, good old folks in the subcontinent, have a project now called the 1 Rupee Film Project. Is that what it is?
Yes.
Or something like that.
Yes.
And so, yeah, man, they're going to take this and run with it, and they're going to create their own art, their own media, and Michael's not going to send them a lawyer letter. I don't even know if that would do anything since they're in India.
I'm going to sue them for reading my book on how to do it yourself and doing it themselves. No, that won't be happening.
Yeah, but some people are into stuff like that, things like patent trolls, and we don't abide by that at all because it prevents good things from happening, innovations from happening.
There's a great picture that our friend Iva in Croatia, who is the girl on the Freedom Fiends button, the cute girl with the Freedom Fiends t-shirt on the Freedom Fiends button. She drew a picture for me of a patent troll stepping on a young hipster listening to an iPod because patent trolls are going after podcasting. So I'm going to use that for the image today on freedomfiends.com. Should be up in about an hour. So, yep, it's a good image, man. Share it. It's very Halloween-y, too.
But that kind of brings us to our next point, which is hate the game, don't hate the player, right? And you kind of got this sense in your back and forth with Stefan Kinsella that if the structure is as it is, there's going to be patent trolls, and they're just following the rules. It's the rules that need to be abolished and or changed. Well, I would say abolished, but
yeah.
It's the structure, man. If you have a structure where that's going to happen, people are going to naturally respond to the incentives. That's economics 101, at least Austrian economics 101, is people respond to economic incentives. It's obvious. So if you want to really strike at the root, stop adding these artificial incentives that you think are going to make things better, but actually
and
make things worse.
If you don't strike at the root, you'll have to go back to the dentist of life for more painful surgery, as I learned this week.
Yeah. Yeah, you will. You will. And so I think this hate the game, don't hate the player. I mean, that goes for the clerks at the doctor's office. We read the note that they posted that please don't spit on us. You know, it's not our fault that you have to fill out all this new paperwork.
It goes for the TSA. And is it too soon for me to ask, is someone going to say too soon, not funny, if I say the TSA should have signs up that say please don't shoot the TSA agents?
I think it might be a little bit too soon.
Okay, but you should not shoot people. Don't shoot people who aren't coming at you on the street or in your house and trying to steal your wallet or stab you or shoot you.
Yeah. Yeah. Collective self-defense is still collectivism. It doesn't abide by the non-aggression principle. Yeah. You know, you can't attack somebody just because they're wearing a uniform, just like they don't get to attack you just because they're wearing a uniform. Either way, it's collectivism. It's just two different sides of it. And, you know, the TSA, they do have things, or they have had things in the past, like, you know, we're just doing our jobs. Please respect us. I've seen signs to that effect, and I've seen people say things like that. So I don't know what they're going to do about
this.
They
should put up signs that say, please respect us, write your congressman, and he'll throw it away if you don't like what we're doing.
He'll throw it away, yeah, yeah. How about withdraw your consent from the state?
Because the emperor has no clothes, and you should teach everyone that the emperor has no clothes. He's naked, man.
Yes, yes.
He's naked and looks like Mr. Burns naked, which isn't very pretty. And he's hiding behind the curtain, pulling all the levers of the state, saying, oh, everything's fine. Give us more money.
Yes.
Buy my book.
Exactly. Buy my book. Yeah. And Michael hit the nail on the head with that. That's the solution. It's not doing violent things. It's not writing a congressman. It's teaching everybody and giving everybody the bravado to say, hey, the emperor has no clothes. Let's forget about this. Thank you so much for joining us, fiends. We'll see you tomorrow.
Worms.
Thank you for listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Make an appointment to listen while it's still legal. Learn more about the fiends.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. We'll send you some buttons on Monday.
Cool. Looking forward to it.
Good first day, man.
Yep.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.